Hello and welcome back. This is your host and teacher, Valya. I am thrilled that you've returned for part two of our excavation process in our brand new You series. So you had your work cut out for you from last time, right? Really digging in to the thought patterns that no longer serve and are ready to be released. So we are going to pick up right where we left off last time. Before we dive in, I just want to take a couple of moments to center ourselves, make sure we come into the room. You may have had a long day or a long morning, and I want to meet you wherever you are, but make sure that we honor and are grateful for the time and space that you're carving out right now for yourself. So let's just take a couple of deep breaths together. Set down anything that you're holding. Just stretch your back up a little bit. Turn your head yes and no. Turn your head from side to side. Shrug your shoulders and release. And just let it out. Breathe really deeply. And let it out with a big sigh. Sometimes it's really nice just energetically to allow our breath out and actually let it out. So make whatever noise. No one's listening to you. I can't even hear you. So take a couple of deep breaths, right? Just really breathing in deep, gathering whatever energy you need to embody right now as we continue our program together. And then just sigh out whatever no longer serves us. Whatever is clogged, whatever was tough this past week, whatever was frustrating, just release it. Release it out into the air, out into the universe. Trust that it will find its place, but it no longer needs to be in your body. I'm going to give you a couple of seconds to take a few of those deep breaths. And send any breath, if there's any tension in your neck, in your shoulders, in your back, if you feel anything tight, try it with those cleansing breath, right? Just take a deep breath in, asking to receive whatever you want to receive today. And just as you breathe out, just send some release into that part that's tight. It's probably here to tell us something. So just acknowledge it. Thank it for being here. Just tell it it's time to go. Send it out with your breath. And what I'd like you to do is set an intention for our work today. We're going to stick into the depth of excavation, right? Really sitting in those thought patterns, transforming them into something that's going to serve us. This is the work. Right? This is the heart and soul of branding. So just set an intention. What do you hope for today or for this next chapter of your journey? You might set an intention for clarity, for ease, for flow, perhaps for focus, for insight, maybe just peace. Maybe just as simple as learning something new. Maybe this is the 1 hour that you have to yourself. So maybe it's just enjoying an hour to yourself, being able to receive rather than giving, which you probably do all day. So just set a mindful intention so that we can really hold that space and energy throughout our session today. And as you gently either open your eyes or wiggle your hands or toes and grab your pen again or grab your notebook and center yourself, I welcome you back. Welcome back to part two of our excavation. And before we dig into those thought patterns and the homework that you've done and the reflection that you've done, I just want to zoom back out to make sure that we're always making this relevant to branding and to why we're here to begin with. and just remind you that, yes, branding is building that bridge between how you see yourself and how the world sees you, right? Yes, branding is our vehicle into this world of self-discovery and self-mastery. But it's also very practical, right? What I've seen in my own experience, branding allows us to set a compass, right? To set that North Star. You'll remember last week we were talking a little bit about that paradox of focus, that we really sometimes hold back from focusing or narrowing down or saying, I want to work in this company specifically or in this type of role or create this type of business only. Right? We really refrain from being so clear in our intentions because we're scared. It goes back to that fear. We're scared that, well, is there going to be enough? If I close this door, well, how do I know another door is going to open? Right? So a lot of what we're talking about today is also these components of trust, of faith, of knowing that there's something much greater at play when you set your intention, when you put out there what it is that you believe to be true. For you, right? It's all about choice. So thinking quite practically, right, that the brand is going to serve as that compass for us, that North Star, that when you feel discombobulated or aren't sure what's happening, why it's happening, feeling stress, feeling burnout, feeling excitement, feeling distraction, whatever it is that might be coming for you in this moment in your life, that this brand, this articulation of who I am, what I stand for, starts serving as an anchor, right? It starts serving as, wow, this is what I know to be true about me. This is what I do. This is who I am, and this is who I'm not. Remember what I shared with you, right? The art of decluttering is not so much what you get rid of, right? It's what are the things that you're choosing to leave behind. That's where you start making your choices. That's where a brand starts taking life and taking shape and taking form. So practically, yes, it's going to be your compass. Yes, this North Star, clarity and focus. That to me is one of the most practical things that come out of branding experiences with clients and with companies. Right? Even when I work with a company on their brand and wanting to reimagine their values and what they stand for as a mission, all of a sudden we have focus and we know who needs to do what, who has what role and what responsibility, what types of clients are ideal for us, what types of clients are actually no longer going to fit into our matrix. It's beautiful. Clarity and focus is a beautiful thing because it drowns out so much noise. Another practical plug for branding, right? It helps in your decision-making. Because you have so clear and because you have that focus, you're also able to decide. So every decision doesn't feel like this big, grueling, drawn-out thing. It's actually quite crisp and quite clear, right? Because you know what you stand for and what you don't. You've made some parameters. You've made some boundaries. You've made some non-negotiables. You've said, this is the world that I play in and this is the world that I don't. Right? It also has a lot of secondary effects and impacts in a wonderful way, right, on relationships. Who enters into your life and who doesn't? Personal satisfaction, hobbies, new opportunities, right? Let's say you're in an interviewing phase right now and you start saying yes to every headhunter that calls you in every interview. Well, that's going to be really exhausting really fast. And I have seen that not work over and over and over again. And I'll tell my clients who are in that big transition, say, you know what? Until you're willing to put a stake in the ground and resist the urge to be everything to everyone and focus, sorry, it's going to be hard. So don't complain to me, right? This is about tough love. Don't complain to me that it's tough when you have not had the courage to focus. And then last and certainly not least, when I think about the most profound ripple effects of branding and why this stuff matters, right? It's better health. It's less stress. It's more ease in your body, in your mind, in your heart, in your soul. You start speaking from a place of truth and not from a place of clutter. Who the heck wouldn't want that, right? This is what it's all about, right? That clarity, the how you want to be showing up in the world, the helping me understand who you are and who you're not. Don't underestimate the importance of that, right? Once you start educating the world on what you're about, It's also very helpful for me to think about you for opportunities, for your colleagues to think about you, right? For your bosses to know what projects to put you on, what projects not to put you on. So don't underestimate, right? Really practical takeaways of the journey that we're embarking on together, even though in my mind, and as I've shared with you, it's very much this self-discovery and self-mastery is the ultimate prize for going through the journey. But there are some very practical, very key takeaways that impact your daily world. Right? So with that, let's transition back into our work from last week, right? When we were looking at those thought patterns, when we were looking and exploring that imposter syndrome, where we get in our own way, where things get stuck, right? What we've come to believe about ourselves in a way that was rooted and anchored in fear and that no longer belongs. So I hope that this was a very useful exercise, and I really sincerely hope that you took time this past week to sit with the process, to sit with the model, to just observe where you get triggered, to really reflect on, hey, where those fears come from? How did I learn to be afraid of this? And I hope you've narrowed it down to a couple of things. One is that core root thought pattern, right? The I'm not good enough, whatever your version is, right? Some examples of things I hear all the time, right? It needs to be perfect. I can't be myself. They're going to find me out at some point. I'm an imposter. I don't deserve this. It was luck that got me here. I'm not good enough. Whatever your version was of the story, that you've narrowed it down to that and you've named it, right? And we talked last time about the power of naming it and objectifying it. It no longer becomes us. It just becomes one of our hundreds of thousands of millions of thought patterns that we have throughout any given day. It's one that has a little bit of weight because we've given it power over the years, right? But it's not one that can't be undone. And that's what we're going to talk about today, that process of undoing. Right? That process of getting really clear on, okay, this has been in service to me up to now, and it's actually no longer working. So how do I transform that? So I want you to just pressure test one second for me your thought pattern. So let's go with the I'm not successful enough for someone who's looking to land a new job and is going out on interviews, right? I'm not successful enough. So that thought pattern is leading to some feeling in the body. Self-doubt, anxiety, perhaps worry about money, scarcity, dread, insecurity, maybe even a sadness, an anger, a resentment, whatever feelings come up for that person. From that place of resentment, anxiety, worry, fear, scarcity, that person is acting or not acting in a certain way. So when they show up into an interview, right, how do you think they're showing up? Right? Are they showing up with the brand that they want to project into the world? Probably not. Right? They're probably showing up in a much smaller version of themselves. And they might not think they are, right? They put on the nice suit or the nice dress or whatever it is that they're putting on, put their shoulders back, right? But it's not just the nonverbal cues. It's not just about trying to tweak body language. When the mind is not in alignment with the body, is not in alignment with the heart, is not in alignment with the story that we're telling ourselves about ourselves, there's a mismatch. The entire system is not calibrated. So from that action or inaction, let's say they're saying yes to everything the interviewer says, or they are not sharing, you know, powerful stories, or they're not able to share some of their successes because they're feeling down on themselves, or they're overly sharing successes and not showing vulnerability. Whatever action is happening or not happening, maybe they say yes to too many interviews, maybe they say no to too many interviews. Something is happening, some behavior, and then ultimately there's a result. This person might just not be getting the jobs that he or she was hoping for, not getting enough callbacks. So that's our current state, right? What I want to work on today is, what does a future state look like, right? I told you we're going to do psychology and coaching, right? But the difference between coaching and psychology, coaching is about taking the current state and moving it to some future reality. We're not going to sit in the past. We're just going to identify it, You've done a lot of homework this past week, noticing it. And now we're ready to transform. Now we're ready to take what was into what's next. Okay, so we're going to be creating a new thought pattern that is going to help serve you in these situations. All right, so a couple of things. One is, I call this a personal leadership mantra. You can call it whatever you want. If it's a personal philosophy, it might be your leadership mantra. It might be just words you live by. It might be the truth about you. Name it something, right? However you want to call it, I call it a personal leadership mantra. Because the essence of a mantra is that it's something that you repeat over time, consistently and frequently. And that just feels like it has a lot of meaning to me because it reminds me that it's something that I need to be doing all the time to really give it life, to give it energy. So just the way our current thought pattern had that entire ripple effect, right? The thought led to a feeling, which led to some action or inaction, which led to a result. Same goes for our brand new thought pattern, which we're now calling our personal leadership mantra, right? So I'll give you my example. I shared with you last time that a lot of my kind of dark imposter syndrome thought pattern is the I'm not enough. That's an old pattern that I would carry with myself. It was my good girl who became completely people-pleasing and started identifying her value into the world from how other people thought of her. So if there was ever a fear of not being liked, of not being accepted, of not being included, I would overcompensate by doing more, bigger, better, yes, whatever you need, right? About really becoming a doormat to whoever or to whatever was in front of me. So that led, you know, and I've shared with you feelings of real anxiety, worry, self-doubt, just depletion, right? Which then led to me saying yes to everything from those feelings. I didn't know what else to do. So it was like, yes, yep, I'll do this. Because it was just insecurity and self-doubt were breeding. And then ultimately, right, it was just complete burnout. The result was, yes, on the surface, successful new clients, more money. And then underneath, it was breaking. The entire foundation was rotten and it was breaking. So take that same exact scenario. Okay, my reality didn't change. Remember, I told you, in this work, maybe nothing changes, but everything is different. But I had to start looking at this in a different way. I had to substitute a thought pattern that would actually serve me rather than hurt me, because clearly this one had expired, right? The way I believe that when you look at yours, it has expired. It served its purpose, time to move on. So my personal leadership mantra, right, is I am in service. Now, how did that happen? So it's the same concept, right? I still believe about spreading this message of leadership, of personal branding, of self-mastery and self-discovery to as many human beings as I possibly can. That feels like my mission and my purpose in this world. Same mission, right? And it theoretically could be down the same rabbit hole of just saying yes to everybody who would want to be coached or challenged or every company that would want to be doing a training. But it's a little different. Because what happened, I changed the root, I changed the thought pattern. So my thought pattern, rather than being, I am not enough, I wake up in the morning and I say, I am in service. Who am I meant to serve today? So what did that do to me? Let's run it through the same exact model, right? So I am in service. I am a servant leader, right? It takes different forms because I've finessed it over the years. But let's go with, I am a servant leader, right? I believe in servant leadership. So from that place, right, of who am I going to serve today or I'm a servant leader, I have feelings that pump in my body when I say it. I get excited, motivated, inspired. It feels quite purposeful. So when I say inspired, I mean in quite a deep way. I feel connected to something bigger than myself. I feel mission-driven, mission-oriented. Right? So from that feeling of joy, of capacity, of celebrating my gifts, of being able to share my gifts and my teachings with the world, all of a sudden, now I move from that feeling in my body to action. What am I going to do or not do? Right? So when I show up, when I get on a stage, when I get in front of a company, when I design a program, when I lead an offsite, all of a sudden I'm coming out with zero ego and zero attachment because it's just about how am I here in service to you? In fact, those of you who are salespeople will appreciate this, right? One of the first things that I'm going to say if I'm ever going into a prospective meeting, and I actually don't business develop, I just have warm conversations and build relationships and things come of that, right? But the first thing I'll say is I'm not selling anything. This is about, do you and I make sense? Do we want to explore this together? Can I add value to you in a meaningful way? If not, I'm not the right partner. If so, I'd be thrilled to be your partner. And that has helped me. I mean, I can't even tell you. It comes from my heart and it has helped me tremendously. I mean, it's built a business for me without ever having to knock on a door. Right? So just think about, right, my energy when I'm going into action from those feelings of joy, which just came from that simple thought pattern that I switched. I'm a servant leader, right? So now I have the courage to say yes or no because I'm not attached to the outcome. So some clients I say yes to, some are not a good fit, I say no to. Some programs I develop, some I work with other collaborators, some I have coaches on my team who end up delivering, right? Because it wasn't an ideal fit for me, but was a really sweet spot for one of my my colleagues, right? All of a sudden there's more choice. There's more room, there's more breathing space, there's more possibility for me and for many others. And then from that space of choice, of joy, of how I'm showing up and feeling unattached and feeling in alignment, right? My actions and inactions, the results, right? The results for me have been personal peace, power, but also quite practically financial gain, right? Incredible clients, which I'm so proud to serve. Right? A beautiful kind of array of experiences, of types of trainings. I mean, the list is endless. I'm extremely grateful. But it's essentially went from a business that was a one-woman show who just wanted to please and really liked the people side of business to an entire operation that serves enlightened corporates, right? And builds leadership development programs and experiences for people. I mean, what a blessing. And I kid you not, right? This is why we're here together. It starts with that simple shift of mindset. That simple shift from I am not enough to I am a servant leader. So here's how I got to that leadership mantra and how you're going to get to yours. That thought, that new personal leadership mantra cannot be the opposite of the thought pattern, right? So if yours was I'm not successful enough, it certainly can't now be, I am so successful. It doesn't work. Because the brain is a little too smart for that, right? We can't just do the opposite. This leadership mantra needs to be, at its core, a fundamental truth that you believe about yourself. Fundamentally, if I were to pull everything else away, if you were to leave your job tomorrow morning, if you were to leave your spouse, if you were to leave, you know, whatever it is that is meaningful for you, if I were to strip it all down, what is still left? What is quintessentially the uniqueness of you? What is it that makes you different? What is it that is specifically your value proposition? And I don't want to hear something as flat as, you know, I'm good at communication, because so are 100,000 other people. Deeper than that, what type of communication are you good at? How do you communicate in a way that adds value and impact into your work, into your relationships? Right, so get to the heart of, if I were to strip everything else away, what are you left with? So when I did this exercise, right, so first I started with, well, I'm a great listener. Okay, well, I'm very empathetic. Well, I can read between the lines. I'm really good at kind of intuitively seeing what's really going on with someone. Well, you know, I'm great with client relationships, or I really care, so compassion really differentiates me. But they all started sounding generic. So when I got to the space of what do I knew, if I were to take everything else away, I knew that I would still be in a place of service to something. Not service from the scarcity place where I was in my previous thought pattern, right? If I need more, more, more to be enough. This is, I am fully enough and complete, but my purpose here on earth is to be of service, is to teach. I am a servant leader, and my methodology is teaching. I am a teacher. And when I say that, all the noise goes away. Everything slips away because I'm left with my truth. that if I were on a desert island, I would still in some way, shape, or form teach. Funny enough, I'll tell you kind of sidebar story. If you go back to who you wanted to be when you were a little kid, before the world got into your head, before you were told what's right and what's wrong, before fear started creeping in, before you started telling yourself, oh, I can't make money doing that, what did you want to be? Because there are probably a lot of threads in that that we need to unearth when we're thinking about your brand. So just jot some notes. If anything's coming up for you, just take a second and jot some notes. Who did you want to be when you were a kid? Take a deep breath and let's let that out. So, I always wanted to be a teacher, right? When I'm thinking about servant leadership and teaching being that modality, I remember being 5, 6 years old, lining all my dolls in a row. I was an only child. And asking for a chalkboard. That is the only thing that I wanted ever. I wasn't a kid that wanted things. This was my thing, a chalkboard, because it made me think of my teacher, and I would have my mom pour me a little bit of Coca-Cola into a mug, because it reminded me of coffee that I saw my teachers drinking in the front of the classroom. And I wanted chalk, the chalkboard, and I wanted those fake nails. Back in the 80s, there were a lot of fake nails, and I wanted my nails to make noise when I was tapping on the desk or tapping, you know, to point to something in the room when I was teaching my dolls. So I would tape little pieces of paper around my fingers to have long nails so that they would click, and then write on my chalkboard and sip my Coca-Cola out of my mug, because that was the teaching scenario, right? And the joy, I mean, I can't even express the joy, the hours upon hours that would pass that way. We all have those memories, right? Tap into yours. Tap into what would you do? What did you do where you just completely lost track of time, and gather some notes for us? Because that's going to be relevant when we come back into the concrete branding exercise where we're going to be building the value proposition later in our program. So back to servant leadership, right? So that's where it comes from. It's the same essence of who I am, of what I would be doing, but it has now boiled down into a phrase that when I run it through that same exact model, it feels like freedom. It feels like choice. It feels like I come alive, right? It feels purposeful. Back to earlier in this call, right? It helps me make decisions. It helps me have that North Star. When I get lost and confused, I can come back and say, whoa, have I been speaking lately? Have I been teaching lately? No. Okay, well, that's probably why I'm in a funk. How do I get back to center? So what is your version of that? At the core of you, if I were to take you into any other company or experience or country or relationship, that part would still remain. I'll give you a couple of examples just to get your wheels turning from clients of mine. So I have one gentleman, last week actually it was, who wanted to capture somehow his resilience. That was something he was really proud of, that no matter what life threw at him, and he had a lot of tough stuff come his way, it was about resilience. And so his mantra became, no matter what, I'm going to be okay. And when he said that, first his face looked bright. And I looked at him and I said, so what does that feel like? And he's like, I have not felt this peace and this type of peace and this depth of peace in years. Right? That's the power of a personal leadership mantra. When you say it, you feel it with your body. Right? His was about resiliency. I had another client a couple of years ago. She was onboarded into a really big role, CEO role, global organization in public relations. And she was fantastic as an individual contributor. I mean, she was the client advisor that everybody wanted her on their accounts, leading their pitches, right? But here she was now onboarded into leading an entire office, which was a completely different skill set. And it scared her. I'd say it scared the crap out of her, right? And so behind closed doors, it was opening up and saying, well, I don't know. How am I going to do this, right? I feel like a total imposter. I feel like a fraud. These people have entrusted in me, and like, I'm good at the work, but I don't know about leadership. I don't know about management. Right? So we worked through this entire process, went through her old thought pattern, talked about fear. Where did that come from? Where did I learn about that? And I gave her this assignment, right? And it might not come to you, by the way, as you're listening to this right now, like it did for her. She actually emailed me 3 days later that it popped in for her. This is the subconscious needs to do some processing, right? This isn't your rational brain wordsmithing. That's not going to be the right way to approach this. This is going to be you set your intention that I would like clarity around my personal leadership mantra, and then you take the dog out for a walk, right? You go and take a hot shower. You go and be in nature. You go out with friends, right? Allow your brain the creative space, not just the rational space. And so she emailed me a couple days later and said, I've got it. Crystal clear, I've got it. I said, fantastic, what is it? And she said, I'm a creative thinker. I'm a creative thinker and I'm a courageous thinker. And I said, whoa. And she said, that's what's gotten me to where I am right now. I know no matter what, if you were to strip everything else away, I am a courageous and creative thinker. And I need to now apply that courage and creativity in the way I think about leading this organization. And that was it for her. Literally like a light switch. Because all of a sudden, when I can tap into that courageous thinking, I now am thinking of different ways that I would want to lead. I don't have to do it the way my predecessor did it, for example. So notice that this can tap into a strength, an inner piece of wisdom, a quality of yours. For me, it was more that purpose, right? That teacher. So I embodied more of a role in mine. It could be a combination of words. It could be one word. Make it yours. Make it come to life so that when you say it, you either feel goosebumps, you sit a little bit taller, right? So that when you run through your worksheet again, the thought to the feeling to the action to the result, you see the freedom that comes through the other side. You see how your actions aren't automatically going to be different without you having to do anything differently. Now, a couple of tips and tricks so that we make this very sticky, because this is not so easy, right? I mean, we get this in theory. Now we got to start putting this into practice. So I want you to use only one, right? The temptation is, all right, let's get a whole bunch of new mantras and just try them out. It's not going to work. We are literally reprogramming your brain through neuroplasticity right now, right? So we can't. We can't put 14 different mantras in 14 different situations. I want you to play with one for the next month, all right? And then we can wordsmith, we can tweak it, but we will know when you get to the one. But let's practice with one, all right? Now, the other thing, like any habit, I need you to use this often. We can't use this once a week and assume that it's going to stick. Don't forget, we are literally unwiring years and years and years of programming for that old thought pattern. So use it often. Now, how do I mean use it? I mean, before you walk into an important meeting, take a deep breath and say your mantra, right? If you feel strange saying it out loud, say it internally. If you feel strange, go into the bathroom and say it, right? So take a deep breath before that important meeting or presentation or client experience, whatever it is. I want you to go take 2 seconds to center yourself, do a little bit of that deep breathing that we do at the start of our call, or set an intention, however you want to start center yourself, and you're going to say, fill in your mantra, right? No matter what, I can figure it out. I'm a courageous thinker. I'm a servant leader. I'm exactly where I need to be right now. I have big and bold ideas. My truth will set me free. I let my inner wisdom shine. I decide through intuition. I'm beautiful from the inside out. Nothing's going to come my way that I can't sort through. Whatever yours is. Right? Your version. I want you to insert that into space and actually put it out there, ideally out loud, if not internally, is totally fine. But that needs to be a constant practice that you do before something important, or maybe even before you start your day. I mention for you, every morning when I wake up, first question, who am I meant to serve today? That way I put it out there, I feel brighter, I feel like I'm ready to begin, I'm open, because I'm not assuming that who I think I should serve is who I should serve. Perhaps there's going to be a different turn of events today, or a different type of client, or a different type of program that I'm building. So allow possibility, right? So I want you to pick one. I want you to use it often. Okay? I also want you to consider your body language when you're saying it. All right? Now, several of you may have already watched Amy Cuddy, her TED Talk, right, on power posing. I know that's a common one. If you haven't, please Google it. Amy Cuddy. And she has all this science around just the power of body language and how it can actually increase endorphins in our body to bring us more confidence within seconds, right? So the concept of a power pose is that you actually make your body bigger, right? So whether your arms are outstretched above your head, whether you're standing like a superhero with your arms at your waist, right? So however your body feels bigger, bolder, right? Your biggest and best self, I want you to take that pose or just sit in a way or stand in a way where you feel like you are taking up more space, both literally and energetically. And then say the mantra. Now, if you feel like you're in the meeting, right, and you're off kilter, something hasn't happened, it's strange, I feel insecure, here comes my voice again, be gentle, right? Remember, hi Bob, right? Whatever you named your voice, that inner critic, that imposter, just say hello, acknowledge it, and tell it, I've got this. Thanks so much, I've got this. Remember, it's not about shoving it in a box and ignoring it, because it will come out and rear its ugly head. That's the last thing we want. We want you to acknowledge, there it is. It's been helpful, thank you very much, and I've got this, right? This is the art of how we're reprogramming this habit in your brain. And picture it, but picture it almost like a ski track, right, that has been very well grooved over the years. You keep going down the same exact part of the mountain, the same exact track. What we're asking your brain to do is to go into this newly powdered fresh snow and create a new track. It's going to be awkward the first time down. It might even be hard the second time down. But eventually, after a couple of runs, right, it just becomes the new way. And then you really enjoy that new run, right? Then it becomes yours and it becomes habituated and programmed into your brain. So you're going to create your new mantra. You are going to use it often. You are going to try power posing or whatever you want to call it, right? Just standing bigger, taking up more space physically and energetically. Okay? Now the last and most important tip, right? So of course we said that you're going to, once you identify that negative thought creeps back in, you thank it, say hello, and tell it, I've got this, right? Because this does not mean our negative thought goes away. It's still alive and well. We just need to give it a new job. That is the art of this excavation process, right? We're doing the science, but the art is don't poo-poo it. Don't shoo it away. Allow it to come in, say hello, give it a new job. And a new job might be that every time you see it pop up, you insert your leadership mantra. Or a new job might be, hey, I need you to start noticing, you know, where I'm saying yes and where I'm saying no. That would be helpful. Give it something to do. And I know this sounds a little kooky. It works like magic. Give it something to do. So back to that final and most important tip. I want you to start practicing the power of pause. People often ask me, Balya, how do you define leadership? Right? Is it a moment? Is it an experience? Is it a role? For me, quite simply, and I think profoundly, leadership happens in that moment where you have the courage to pause and breathe rather than to react, right? So those of you who have seen me speak and have worked with me know it's the difference between response and reaction. So when we respond to life, we have the courage to stop, to choose, and to insert our truth or our phrase or our communication. When we are reacting to life, we are literally reacting from every single habit that has been ingrained in us. I want you to start leading your life and leading your brand. And we can't do that if you're acting from a place of habit, from just habitual reaction, right? That's why I had you do that trigger list for homework. So go back and take a look at that list of things that trigger you. Every time I'm with this type of person, every time I'm with my, you know, father-in-law, every time I'm, you know, late, every time there's a crowded subway, right? What are your triggers? When you can identify the trigger, then you have a choice. Remember, the power of our work in this program is the power of choice, the power of putting pen to paper, the paradox of focus. So once you have a choice, once you insert that one moment of pause, you just decided, I'm going to lead this experience rather than react to this experience. So step one, we already did, right? We identified, where is it that I get triggered? Step two for this next week is going to be, now I start observing, oh, there's the trigger again. So first, you're going to be a little bit less triggered because you've been writing it down, so now you can see it objectively. And then to change the behavior, the trick is going to be insert that moment of pause. Now, what can you do? A couple of things. Simplest thing is just breathe. Rather than keep speaking, take a second. One breath, a couple would be even better, right? And then choose your words. Choose the response rather than the reaction. Right? Another thing you can do for those of you who don't want to breathe, right? Make an actual physical trigger, a physical reminder. So let's say you're holding a pen in a meeting and you get triggered. Change the pen to your other hand. Or let's say you're wearing, you know, I don't know, there's a rubber band or a paper clip near you. Take it into your hand and move it from one hand to the next, or break the paper clip. Right? It actually, what we're trying to do is create a physical trigger so that your brain knows, whoop, we're actually not going to be habitually reacting right now. We're going into pause. We're going into space. We're going into that moment where we're going to be still to then choose, to choose what we're doing next. That's leadership, right? Sounds so simple. And the minute you start putting it into practice, probably one of the most profound things that you're going to take out of this program. To start choosing how we show up in our world rather than having our habits choose it for us. That's the magic here. That's the magic of this personal leadership mantra and of deconstructing these thought patterns that have been clogging our way, deconstructing these habits, deconstructing our old triggers that no longer serve us, that we want to start reforming and reshaping and remorphing and retransforming into something that serves us, into something that makes us lighter, brighter, bigger, bolder. So that's your homework for next time, right? So we're going to think about, what is that personal leadership mantra? Give it time, give it space, step away from it. Don't start wordsmithing yet. I first want you to get to the concept. You'll feel that in your body, and then you can wordsmith. That's the easy part. Then we're going to practice using it, right? So make sure in the next week that you are practicing using it in a variety of different scenarios. That you practice taking up more space physically, emotionally, right? A simple way to do that is slow down how fast you speak. Just literally take the pace down just a notch. You're going to feel a difference in your body. You're going to practice the power of pause, right? So when you feel triggered, instead of going boom, right into the habit, do something physical or take that deep breath. Insert the personal leadership mantra in your brain, right? No matter what, I'm going to be okay. And then boom, then start choosing. Now, the good thing is, like I told you last time, the hard work is already done. The minute you choose that phrase, the minute you choose the personal leadership mantra and say it, the rest is a ripple effect. The chemicals in your body, the feelings you're going to have, the actions you take, the results, that is already in process. So you don't need to consciously be thinking about, am I doing this right or am I doing this wrong? It's magic how it works. Your only work is to think about that thought pattern, when you insert it, and how you have the courage of pause to insert it. So that is where I'm going to leave you for today. Thank you for the incredible work that you continue to do. Spend time in your workbook. Spend time in your journal, reflecting, taking this in, appreciating every opportunity that's going to pop up to test you to make sure that this stuff is really sticking and that you're committed to making this type of transformation in your life. And next time, we move into the fantastic world of foundation, which is going to be setting a completely new course for you, for your brand, for what you stand for. I can't wait for this next section. This is the exciting stuff. We've gone through a lot of the sludge, and now we're ready for a lot of just the brightness and a lot of the putting pen to paper on what it is that you want to believe and what you want to stand for. So I wish you well. Have a wonderful week ahead, and I will look forward to seeing you next time. Thanks so much for joining me.